Now we turn this evening to Revelation chapter 9. The book of Revelation chapter 9. We'll read the first 12 verses. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Now, we've been looking at these trumpet blasts given by the angels, signaling judgment upon the world of men. We've considered the first four trumpet blasts. And what did they proclaim? These first four trumpet blasts proclaimed God's woes upon the natural elements of the world. We were considering that a fortnight ago, and the week previous to that, too, to the fortnight ago. You see, God can exercise judgment upon the trees, upon the grass, upon the seas, upon the rivers, upon the sun and upon the moon. And when these elements in nature are affected, or when they are disrupted in any way, then the results can be disastrous for humanity as a whole. And however terrifying these woes are, they are not to be compared to the woes that follow. And this is what we're going to be dealing with in this fifth and sixth trumpet blasts. And so we consider this evening what John was shown, or what was made known to John when the fifth trumpet sounded. Now, I might say just now that we've got to recognize that the book of Revelation has never been, nor will it ever be, easy to interpret. The reason for that is it's what we call an eschatological book. That is to say, it is a book that has to do with the future. And you see, many of these secrets of the future are still in the womb of the future, and because of that, they are unknown to us. So sometimes we may make mistakes in our interpretation of this book. But what I'm trying to say is this, that as I look at this book and try to interpret it, I don't interpret it wrongly, that is, willingly. In other words, if I'm mistaken, then I'm mistaken and I stand to be corrected. And that is why I'm not passing on any conclusions that are intentionally wrong. That is why I am asking you, when you listen to what is being said from the book of Revelation, that you consider it carefully and prayerfully. In other words, go home. Think over what has been said. Ask for enlightenment so that you'll understand this book as I try to understand it myself, and so that you might not be wrong and that I might not be leading you wrongly. But as I see it, and as I look at this section of the book, these verses speak to us about one thing. What do they speak to us about? Well, these verses speak to us about evil. That's what these verses speak about. Verses 1 to 12 in this chapter. They speak about evil. The conception of evil. The spread of evil. And the conquering power of evil. And this is the truth that John was made to understand. And this is what we're going to concern ourselves with this evening, and perhaps maybe on another Sabbath evening. To begin with, then, let's look at the origin of evil. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, you recall that in the case of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, we noted that they represented a panoramic view of a certain pattern of history which is acted out until the end of history. And in the same way, these trumpets of judgment show us the different woes that afflict men from the beginning to the end of history. And so when John sees this falling star coming down to the bottomless pit, opening this pit, and out of the pit there belches out this fearful, black, awful, appalling smoke, then there comes forth from this pit this army of scorpions to torment men. What we are really seeing here is the whole power of hell being let loose upon the earth. That's what we are seeing. That's what John saw. It was as if the Lord was saying to John, John, I'm going to show you something unusual. I'm going to show you something that will help you to understand the kind of world that you're living in. I'm going to show you something that will make you realize what is the cause of all the evil things that are taking place in the world that you find yourself in. Look at this, John. See this falling star. See it crashing down and see it going to the bottomless pit. See how this falling star opens the pit and allows this smoke to belch out along with this army of scorpions. John, what I'm showing you, says Jesus, is the devil and his hordes. You see, the star which fell from heaven was obviously a person. A person who was given authority to open this fearful pit. And our question is, who is this star? Now, we speak about prominent people being called stars. In the old days, when the film industry was at its height, they had what were called these film stars. These were the leading personages of the film industry. Today, they speak about the television stars. Or they speak about football stars. Or golfing stars. Or whatever other thing you might care to think about that produces these prominent people who reach the top of their profession along these lines. They are the stars. In the Bible we read about the stars. Do we not read about Joseph having a dream? When he saw all the other stars doing obeisance to his star. And we were reading tonight how Jesus said to these disciples, I'm sending you out, he said, with power and authority to preach in my name. Oh, they came back. It was successful. Their evangelistic mission, directed by our Lord himself, their evangelistic mission was eminently successful. And they came and they were so happy and they said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us. And then our Lord made that remarkable statement. Listen, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then he went on to say this, if you recall from our reading in Luke chapter 10, Jesus went on to say this, Behold, he says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And here were the scorpions coming out of the pit that John saw in his revelation. And Jesus says, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And there is only one enemy, isn't there? And the one enemy is the devil, the star that fell from heaven. Well then, who is the star that fell from heaven and who had the key to open the bottomless pit? The star was none other than Satan. Satan, who fell from heaven like lightning. Satan, who is the common enemy of mankind. The star whom John saw fall from heaven was none other than this superior angelic intelligence who had opposed God and who was thrust down to hell. You see, we must remember that the devil wasn't created the devil from the beginning. He was a superior angel. It may have been that he was on a par, if not even greater, than Michael the archangel or Gabriel. But he was one of these superior intelligences in the eternal world order. And what did he do? He opposed himself against God. He not only rebelled and apostatized from God, but he caused many of the angels to apostatize with him. Now I know that this poses for you a problem, and you say, how could it possibly happen in heaven? And if it happened in heaven once, is there any guarantee that it won't happen again? Oh yes, these are the questions that come to your mind and to mine. But all that we do know, and that is this, that there was this rebellion that took place in these heavenly spheres. And the devil was cast down from these spheres to the place that was prepared for him. And what was the place prepared for him? This bottomless pit. This hell. And isn't it our Lord who calls the devil a liar? Isn't it our Lord who calls him the one who abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him? I say it's beyond our finite comprehension to understand how this great angel lost his holiness. As Hendrickson puts it, and that is something for one to question, his holiness. Well, Hendrickson, the commentator, says that he lost his holiness. He lost his position in heaven. He lost his splendor. And it would be unprofitable speculation on our part to try to understand this mystery. What we do know and what we cannot question, and that is that evil is evil and evil is real. And that the mastermind behind evil is the devil, who is now called the Prince of Darkness. Well then, this bottomless pit was opened. And of course, what is the bottomless pit? The bottomless pit is hell, the place of evil spirits, the place which Jesus tells us was prepared for the devil and his angels. And in the decree of God, authority was given to the devil to issue forth upon the world of men. But the power that was allowed to him was to be restricted, and it is restricted, just as it was restricted in the case of Job. You remember how Satan came to our Lord in the days of Job, to God in the days of Job. He said to God, "You put a hedge about this man that you are boasting about, this man Job. You've fenced him around. You've afforded him your protection. But you leave him. Leave him to me and see what will become of this man Job." And the strange story about the book of Job, and that is this. Indeed, sometimes it's a frightening story. "Behold," says God to the devil, "all that he hath is in thy power." Isn't that strange? That's why we must never minimize the power of the devil. That's why we must never tamper with the devil or with devilish things. And may I, just as an aside, say to the young folks who are gathered here this evening, don't you tamper with the devil. Don't you take anything to do with what belongs to the devil, appertains to the devil. Be it in the form of going to seances, be it in the form of palmistry, be it in the form of the occult, be it in the form of dabbling with the Ouija board. Have nothing to do with it. You don't know what you're doing when you tackle with these things, when you tamper with these things. Look at what the devil did to Job. "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put forth not thy hand." And with the opening of the pit, John says, there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, what does smoke do? Well, what it does is this: it blots out the light of the sun. It darkens the air. And here, what John sees and what he is allowed to see, he sees issuing from the bottomless pit this belching black smoke, which polluted the entire atmosphere. In other words, there issued from hell a moral and a spiritual darkness that blinded men so that they couldn't see the light of God. That's what happened. Now Jesus says to John, "Do you understand now why it is that people don't believe in me? Do you understand now why it is that people have turned their backs upon God? Because the devil has released this awful smoke, this moral pollution, and it has blotted out the light of the sun, the light of God." You know, in describing godless men, Paul says this of them. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "The God of this world," and who is the God of this world? Well, we're talking about him. "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And oh, how well the devil blinds men. How well the devil casts this smoke of his over them. How well he blots out Christ. How well he blots out the things of God. My dear friends, I don't need to argue this very much, do I? Here we are. And they're making such a fuss about Christmas. I have nothing against the festivity of the occasion and the enjoyment that can be had during the occasion. But you know, they've taken Christ away, haven't they? Lachlan Mackenzie, the famous minister of Lochcarron, had a poem about the Christ of Bethlehem and where he was to be found. And in that poem, he talks about the different places where men go to try and find Christ, but he's not there. And you'll not find Christ. In all the Christmas shopping that goes on in Inverness, and you'll not find Christ on the Lord's Day in Inverness, in these shops. The devil has cast his smoke. And we're in pollution. We're in a polluted atmosphere. But not only was there this smoke which bespeaks moral and spiritual pollution, but also from hell there proceeded these scorpion-like locusts. And if we now ask, who were these locusts? Whose king was Abaddon in the Hebrew language and Apollyon in the Greek? And you know these words, Abaddon and Apollyon, as I said this morning, really mean destroyer. Then obviously these locusts were the demons. And the demons, who are they? They are the fallen angels. They are the non-elect angels. They are the angels described elsewhere in the Bible as those who kept not their first estate. These are the evil spirits who rebelled along with their head, Abaddon, Apollyon. And now they are under his domination, and they do his will. These demons are the principalities described by the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. They are the principalities, they are the powers, they are the rulers of the darkness of this world. They are the spiritual wickedness who fiercely oppose Christ and his people. And the picture that is now seen by John on the island of Patmos after the fifth trumpet sounded was the picture of Satan with his hordes issuing forth from hell and tormenting those who were unmarked by God. Oh, and there it is, you see. Their power, the power of the devil and the power of the demons, is restricted only against those who are unmarked by God. And if you've got the mark of God on you, if you've got the mark of Christ, if you belong to him, you are safe. Safe from the power of Apollyon. Safe from the power of Abaddon. Safe from these demons who issue from hell. But if you don't have the mark of God, and if you don't have the mark of Christ, then don't be surprised if you're fiercely attacked by him. Later on, we will be speaking about these demons. But just before we close this evening, I must say that we mustn't tamper with these spirits. We mustn't tamper with them. We mustn't minimize their power. It's real. One only has to read perhaps one of these missionary books, like The Roaring Lion by John Patterson, or From Witchcraft to Christ by Elizabeth Irvin. Whether all that that woman says in that book is true is another matter. But if it is true, it's frightening. Well, the smoke that belts forth from hell covered the entire earth, and the stench was felt by all. And not only that, but this army of locusts covered the world. You know, in those areas of the world where the locusts are regarded as a plague, what devastation they cause. I never used to think much about the locusts, and I don't suppose you did either, because our country is free from them. But it's as you sit watching a television program about a plague of locusts, and I've seen one just recently, you see these myriads of creatures blackening the whole sky, and they suddenly descend upon a piece of ground, and within minutes they strip the lot and leave nothing but bareness and devastation behind them. You see, the plague of locusts that came upon the Egyptians in the days of Moses, we read this about it: the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. That is the power. That is the destructive power of the locusts. And in the case of the locusts which the apostle saw, they were the demons issuing from hell. And they spread over the whole earth, and they had power to sting. And what a sting they had. They were allowed to do it for 5 months, you might say. What does that mean, for 5 months? Well, of course, 5 months is the time of the year that the locusts operate in these eastern countries. They come at the beginning of these 5 months, and they go on operating to the end of these 5 months. And so what John was being made to understand was this. These demons, says Jesus to John, will be allowed to operate for the period that my Father allows them, from the beginning to the end of that time. They will devastate. They will strip. They will sting. They will cause havoc. They will create misery. They will bring about despair. But, says Jesus to John, they will only do it to those who don't have the mark of God. Do you see how comforting this book is to the Lord's people? Oh, if you're not one of the Lord's people, then, of course, it can be a bit terrifying. But if you're one of the Lord's people, it's very comforting to know that you're not going to be stung by these terrible intelligences. This then was the picture that was shown to John on the island of Patmos. It was as though Jesus was saying to John, John, you are wondering why it is that there is such evil in the world. You are wondering as to the power of that evil which is spreading abroad and which is doing this and causing that havoc to the cause of my church. But I'll tell you the reason for it. Look, that star that fell, that's the reason. That's Abaddon. That's Apollyon the destroyer. That's Satan. That's the devil. That is Lucifer, if you like. And do you see all these scorpion creatures that follow him? These are the demons, and they cause untold misery in the world. That is the reason for evil. That is the spread of evil. We must leave it there. Aren't we thankful for the Savior? Aren't we thankful that we can go to him and say, establish your mark on us. Keep us in your safekeeping. Keep us from going down to that horrible place. Let us pray. Most gracious one, we give thee thanks that Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We give thee thanks that Christ has subdued the power of darkness and brought it to nothing. And we bless thee that the whole system of evil is contained within thy permissive decree. We pray thee, O Lord, to grant that we, each one of us gathered in this place this evening, may have the mark of Christ upon us, thine own mark, identifying us with thy people, protecting us from all the evil harm that can come through these powers of darkness. Take us now to our homes in safety and blot out our sins. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.